A young man wanted to join a monastery. And so he joined a monastery to train as a monk. And the head monk said, well, it'll take 3 years, and during those 3 years, you have to take a vow of silence. After the first year, the young man came before the head monk, and he was told that he could speak two words. That's all he could speak. So the man said, food bad. Another year of silence went by, and the second year came, and the head monk said, now you're allowed to speak two more words. And the young monk said, bed hard. Then after the third year of silence, he came before the head monk and was allowed to speak again, and he said, I quit. And the head monk said, well, I'm not surprised at all, because all you've done since you've been here is complain. Get it? Okay, never mind. You know, we have to speak. We're talking about speaking the truth. And last week I talked about how change requires learning the truth. And today I want to talk to you about speaking the truth to other people. How are we supposed to speak to other people and give them the truth? And let's look at 1 Peter 1:22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. See, if we have found the truth, we talked about how truth changes our lives. If we have found the truth, it should make us love one another deeply. Not just love one another, but love one another deeply. And we will want to help them find freedom from the pain and problems of sin. See, we look around and we see people hurting. You know, we just heard about another, they call them celebrity suicide, of someone who's successful and had money and fame and fortune, and yet they are depressed and discouraged. They take their life. And we see people around us that are hurt. They got some habit or hang-up that's manipulating them and making them miserable. And you know that by spending time with them, you see what's going on in their lives, then that the current direction their lives are heading, it will lead to destruction. Their lives are headed to destruction. They will destroy, with their attitudes and actions, the relationships that they have with God and the people that they love. It might be a parent or a child or a spouse or a coworker or a friend or a schoolmate, but we see where they're headed. And if we deeply love them, we must love them. And the way we love them is by speaking the truth to them. Now, there's two truths we tell. One is we share the gospel message. And I'm not really talking about that today. Today, I'm talking about sharing the truth about a person's pain or problems and how we can help them find deliverance. How do you tell someone they are headed the wrong way? Someone at school, someone at work, someone you love. You know, the Bible gives us many one another scriptures. Love one another, forgive one another. And in this first point in your fill-in, I want to add another one, rebuke one another. Now, when you see the word rebuke, you're like, ooh, that's a harsh word. Are we really supposed to rebuke another person? Well, the Bible talks about it all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And yes, if you use the word rebuke and you rebuke someone in the wrong way, that is a sin. It comes across as a sin. It hurts the person. When it comes from a sinful or selfish attitude, you hurt that person. So we don't share that way. When you have the mindset, well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what's wrong with you. Well, that's the wrong way. So listen very carefully today. I'm not telling you to go home and tell everybody off in your house. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. I was trying to help a pastor start a small group, and he met with a group of people every week. And I, from time to time, I would ask him, how is your group going? And he goes, well, this person disagreed with me, and so I had to rebuke them. And then every week I said, well, how's it going? Well, this other person disagreed with me, and I had to rebuke him. Well, eventually the group disintegrated. You know, it vanished. Because I am right and you are wrong is the wrong attitude. It's the wrong attitude. When rebuke or correction comes from a gracious and loving heart, when rebuke comes from a person that cares and loves and forgives, it can enlighten a person. It can enrich a person. It can empower a life to be better than it is. That's the attitude we have to have. Look at this definition I want to use today, rebuke, to stop someone from continuing on a path, on a destructive path. We we do this all the time. If I see my little grandson running out into the street chasing a ball, what do? Well, I hope they stop. You know, I'm going to pray for them. No, I say, stop. I rebuke them. Don't go in the street. You go in the kitchen and your child's juggling knives, you know, for fun and throwing them against the wall. Think of my brother. Think of my brother. Stop. Stop. You rebuke them. Stop. You're going to hurt yourself. You know, in fact, in Scripture, we are commanded to rebuke one another with love throughout the Scripture. Let's look at Galatians 6:1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritually, restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Gently. Restore them gently, not harshly. And don't be tempted to sin yourself. We sin against them when we condemn them or we criticize them. That's not our part. We're supposed to show compassion and concern. Matthew 18:15, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. That means we don't gossip about a person before we talk to him. You know, we see a problem and think, oh, I think so-and-so has a problem. And we start gossiping and talking with each other and building a negative attitude toward them. No, it says go and talk to them, just the two of you. Talk and communicate. Clear the air. Take the time to clear the air. Maybe you just saw something that you misunderstood. Clear the air. Save the relationship. This advice is probably the number one advice I give to married couples. Because people call me and say, well, I'm having problems. You know, there's something wrong with my wife or my husband and blah, blah, blah. And they do this and I don't know what to say. And I said, well, have you talked to them? No, I haven't. Well, why don't you take the time and go talk to them and clear the air. Just the two of you. Don't gossip about it and complain to your brothers and sisters and your parents. Talk to them. Clear the air. And then I'll send a note, you know, I'll send a text like a day later. What's going on? Did things work out? Oh yeah. We talk to each other and we clear the air. Everything's better. We can talk to each other. Clear the air. Save the relationship. James 5:19. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring them back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. We have to go. We don't remain silent. We go and speak up. The goal is what? To bring them back to God. To bring them back in a right relationship with God. To heal the relationships they have with the people they love. It takes love and not lectures. It takes love and not legalism. So, let's go to our second point, which is this. You are God's voice in the world. You know we are God's hands to go take bags of homeless bags out to the world and give them to people. We are God's feet to walk and go share the gospel, but we are also God's voice. We speak the word of God. We carry our voice to be God's voice. Ephesians 4:15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. As we mature to be like Christ, we will speak the truth with love. So if you look at just these passages I've read so far, God did not call us to be silent. God did not call us to sit and do nothing. The mature believer speaks the truth of God's word with love. God's word. That means we don't speak our own opinion on how things should be done. We don't share our own thinking on how we think things should be done. We share the truth, the wisdom that comes from God's word. We use the scriptures to give direction to people. We use the scriptures to give correction to people. If you come in and you're having a problem, I'll work with you. And it all comes from God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. To equip yourself, we need God's word. To equip other people to live up to God's expectation, they need the word of God. We use it to teach and to train. And I encourage these parents to teach and train their children in the word of God. But we also use God's word to correct and to rebuke, to set them on the right course. Many people today have toxic attitudes, destructive attitudes. And And because of that, they poison every relationship they have. We talked today about Adam and Eve and why they sinned against God. Well, their attitude shifted when they were tempted by the devil, and it became toxic towards God. They thought they could be like God, and it ruined the relationship. And so our goal as Christians is to help people develop healthy attitudes, healthy actions with the Word of God to heal their relationships, to bring hope and healing, to give them a self-worth so they don't think that they are nothing, but they're something. Our goal is to speak the truth with love. So we are God's voice. Number three says this, you need the right heart. Brothers and sisters, very important you have the right heart if you're going to correct or rebuke one another. See, it's easy to criticize and condemn people. I mean, it's so easy. We have so many easy opinions. You know, it's easy if you're walking up a flight of stairs to shove everybody behind you down, isn't it? You just shove the first person and gravity does the rest. It's hard to do good and encourage people because it's like pushing people up the stairs. It's hard to do. You can't. You have to lead them. And so criticism and condemnation does not work. It makes us sound judgmental, but concern and compassion, people will listen to us when they trust us. Matthew 7:3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You know, before we can correct someone or rebuke someone, we need to make sure we're right with God. We're right with God. We're not being self-righteous. You know, someone told me today he gets angry because Jesus was angry chasing the merchants out of the temple. You know, people who yell at other people always pull the, well, Jesus had righteous anger. I'm like, well, you're not Jesus. You're not Jesus. You can't discern that. You know, when you're angry with someone and it comes out of emotion, that's a sin. So we need to make sure we're right with God, not just being religious, not being self-righteous when we talk to people. So it must be with love and not legalism. You know, legalism is, you know, someone does something a certain way at church, and we're like, well, we don't do it that way here. That's legalism. We do it with love. We encourage with compassion and not condemnation. How many times have you said to your children, what's wrong with you? You know, what's wrong with you? I like to ask my children, what's going on? What's happening in your life? Or how can I help you be better? We do it when we rebuke and correct one another. We do it with an intention of blessing someone, not expressing our bitterness. We want to bless their lives, not get even. So the fourth thing we see here is be intentional. If you want to truly help someone, we must be intentional with helping people. We need to be willing to invest in their lives. I have two statements here. One of the most loving things anyone can do for you is telling you when you're wrong. I mean, have you ever had someone tell you when you're wrong and you accept it and you're grateful? Let's say you're at a dinner party and you got a piece of spinach stuck between your teeth and everybody knows and they're laughing. Wouldn't you want someone to tell you? You know, wouldn't you want someone to point it out? You know, one of the most loving things you can do for anyone is telling them when they are wrong. And so we have to be intentional. Maybe right now, God is speaking to you about someone you know, someone you see at school or work. They look like they're unhappy. You know, right now, because of these celebrity suicides, they're talking about all the warning signs. And you should read them and take heed to the warning signs. But if you're going to be intentional, you have to ask yourself, what's the plan? What's the goal? You see something, one of the goals that I want to have, spend time with this person and talk to them. Or do you just want to give someone a piece of your mind? Or do you want to tell someone off? Or are you trying to get something off your chest? You want to burn your bridges? That's a sinful attitude. Our intentional attitude comes from the heart of Christ. 2 Timothy 2:24. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel, unless he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. This passage is a passage we must have in our heart when we go to correct or rebuke one another. See, our hope is this, that they will come to their senses and escape the devil's trap and return to God. So what are some things we can do? You know, what are some things we can do? The first one is don't start a fight. Don't start a fight. Don't pick a fight. Don't start a quarrel. Don't be a know-it-all. Don't be a jerk. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Don't be a jerk. If you're not sure if you're a jerk, come and see me and I'll tell you. I dare not. You know, it's just amazing some of the attitudes people have. Before I became your pastor, I was running around the state of Arizona preaching at different churches. And, you know, churches didn't have pastors or waiting for a pastor. Pastor just left. So one of my favorite questions when I go to these churches is, what happened to the previous pastor? It's an education for me. And so at one church, I went and I preached and I said, well, what happened, you know, what happened to the previous pastor? I'd like to know. Well, he goes, oh, well, you know, we're having strained relationships. The pastor got up to preach, but instead of preaching, right at the beginning of service, he said, I quit. And he walked out the door. And he left everyone just sitting there. You know what? At the beginning of service, like, wow. Talk about what? Burning your bridges. Talk about attitude. I'm like, no wonder he left with an attitude like that. And so ever since I heard that, I always decided that, God, if that ever happens in a service, I'm going to get up and preach. You know? Because I don't think, I mean, it's a word of, this is the house of the Lord. You know, it's so painful just to hear that. You know, so we don't start fights. We don't go looking for fights. We don't burn our bridges. Instead, be kind. Be able to teach and give clear instruction and wisdom from God's Word. Gently instruct. Just don't try to beat it in their heads. Don't be resentful. Don't hold a grudge. You know, I have some tension with people in this church, but I always told God if they need help, I will help them with love. I will never hold a grudge. I'm not going to say, well, I knew this would happen. You know, I'm not going to be resentful. I seek to serve those that are even difficult. I'm going to be patient and I am kind. That's the right heart. The second thing is speak at the right time. You just run up to a person and blast them? No. We speak at the right time. We wait for the Spirit to lead us. We wait for the opportunity that the Spirit brings. While you're waiting for the right time, pray for them. Listen to them. Serve them. And love them. Show them that you care. And by your caring that they can trust you. You know, there's different ways to listen. We can listen passively. You know, we just, you know, we like background noise. We can choose not to listen at all, or we can choose to listen intently. We want to hear it. Now, when you get in an airplane and that stewardess does her talk about the seatbelts and the exits, no one listens, right? We just tune it out. But if you're flying in the airplane and the plane jolts and shakes, and then you hear a loud banging noise, then the stewardess gets up, you listen, right? You listen intently. And sometimes I don't really talk to people about their problems until they're ready to listen. I don't talk to people when they're under the influence of alcohol or some bad attitude. Pastor Stanley, my pastor, back at our old church on Culver, I was helping him minister to this man that came in, and he was like talking crazy and all emotional. He was also drunk. And, so I didn't want to leave him by himself. So me and Pastor Stanley ministered to this man for 2 hours and talking to him, trying to reason with him. And every so often he had these outbursts. And we finally, after 2 hours, we drove him home. And after we drove him home, Brother Stanley turns to me and says, he won't remember a thing in the morning. I'm like, why did I spend 2 hours? Well, there's a hope, right? There's always that glimmer of hope. And I tell people here that are distressed, you know, that want help. I said, look, you're serious about changing. You come on Sunday, come worship with us. Okay? If you're serious. If you're really serious. And if they remember, no one has yet, you know, it's a good sign. See, if people are under the influence of alcohol, you can yell at them all you want. It won't make a difference. If people are under the influence of drugs, or they're out of control emotions, or crying and weeping and angry or yelling and screaming, it's not a time to talk. It's better to wait till they are calm, when they are coherent. They can understand you. Like in the morning when you're having a cup of coffee, when they calm down, speak at the right time. The next thing we want to do is we want to listen to them talk. If you listen to a person long enough, they'll tell you their real problem. They'll tell you that their real problem is not that they don't have a job, it's their attitude or a grudge they're holding. James 1:19, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of life that God desires. When we listen, you know, we have one mouth and two ears. What does that mean? We listen twice as much as we speak. If you're talking, you're not listening. So we need to listen to their problems. And if we listen long enough, they'll tell us what their problem is. I let them ask me questions. If someone asks me a question, they are giving me permission to speak and speak the truth with love. They might ask you, well, how did you get out of debt? How did you get financially secure? Why are your kids seem happy and mine are fighting all the time? What's the secret of a happy marriage? They ask you these things. That is the right time to speak. We bring in God's word and the wisdom God gives us. See, when people complain to me about their problems, that's a great time. I start there. When they complain to me about their problems, that's a starting point to share the truth. I will say, well, why do you feel that way? You know, they'll say, no one loves me. Everybody hates me. Why do you feel that way? Do you think it's the truth or are you exaggerating it? Why do you think, are you at fault or is it somebody else's fault when they're angry? Listen to them talk. Listen to them complain. Respond. See, the goal is the come to their senses moment. The prodigal son, when he's sitting with the pigs, he had a come to his senses moment. Or maybe a come to Jesus moment. A reality check. Maybe you're going to wait until they're sick and tired of being sick and tired and they want to do something. The next thing you want to do, if you want to speak the truth, is ask probing questions. Don't just tell them what to do. And I understand that desire, but I see many people in our church and in life, they just want to tell people what to do. If I can tell Larry what to do, he'll do it just because I told him. Does that work, Larry? No. So don't just try to tell people what to do. If you do, they what? Become defensive. They'll put up their arms and they're ready to fight. I instead, if I'm trying to lead someone into a discussion, I want to ask them discovery questions to draw them out. Where do you want to be in your life 5 years from now? You know, where do you want to be? Are you happy in your job or do you think you want a better job down the line? Are you still in debt? Do you want to be in debt like you are today 5 years from now? Do you think you have no friends? Is that going to continue? You're asking probing questions. What do you need to do today to accomplish that goal of where you want to be 5 years from now? I listen to Dave Ramsey. He asks that question all the time. What changes should you make today to reach your goals? You can ask them questions like, what's your goals? What's your goals for life? One of my nephews was not planning on going to college, and I remember my mom said, go talk to him. So my mom tells me directly, I just go do it. So instead of asking him and telling him he should go to college, I asked him, I said, what's your plans after high school? You know, are you going to college or what are you going to do? And he looks at me and goes, well, I know people that never got college degrees and they do just fine. And that's true. I mean, gee, my plumber makes $100,000 a year. And he didn't go to college. I'm like, I'm not changing my profession. There's nothing wrong with that. I said, that's true. People do just fine. You know, college is for some people, not for everyone. But I also asked him, I said, well, do you know how many hours those people work? And he goes, well, they work 10 to 12 hours a day. And I said, well, I work 8 hours a day and I make twice as much money. I said, college just gives you options. College gives you options, and he ended up going to college. He probably didn't remember the discussion. I didn't tell him to do anything. I asked him questions to expand, to think it through, to expand his thinking. Ask probing questions. They're passive. I ask people, what are your spiritual beliefs? I no longer ask people, are you a Christian? Because that sounds what? Defensive. That sounds accusing. Why aren't you a Christian? I said, what are your spiritual beliefs? And I let them tell me. And then I talk about what I believe in. The next thing is share what you have learned. Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I have been stupid and I have been successful. I think we would all agree that we've all had success and failures. We've all experienced success and failure. Share what you have learned. When they say, well, I'm having problems with money, I share that, you know, I had problems. I tell people all the debts I had at one time. I had like 10 debts. I had 10 loans out. I said, I got through it. And when they ask me how, I tell them, I share what I have learned. We all have successes and failures. We learn from our failures more than we do our successes. How to get a good job, how to be a good friend, how to share the gospel, how to be a better Christian. We use our mistakes and failures, and we teach them that our mistakes and our failures lead to greater opportunity. I mean, one of the ways I really changed my thinking and how I approach life is I was failing a math class in college. And I failed because of my attitude and my approach to that class. I changed it, and because of that, it changed everything. But because I failed first, and I learned from my failure. So don't be afraid to tell people, I failed, but this is what I learned. The goal is to plant seeds of the truth in their hearts and give it time to grow. When I talk to people, one time is not going to do it. You have to put little seeds in their hearts. Okay, lastly, practice tough love. You know, we want to hug, we want to encourage, but we're not going to coddle, we're not going to spoil, we're not going to give them everything we want. When we speak the truth with love, we have to practice tough love. See, a lot of people, you try to help and you want to minister to, they won't care what you say. They won't listen. Trust me, I've seen it. That's okay. That's their choice. Your responsibility is to speak the truth with love. If they don't listen to you, let them go. Don't go chase them down and beg them or nothing. Don't take it personal. Don't hold a grudge. The goal is to build bridges, not blow them up. So if they say, well, I'm not interested, I say, okay, thank you. You know, you don't say, well, yeah, you know, you're going to go to hell and all this, and you're going to have all this problem. I don't do anything like that. I just keep loving them. I keep serving them. I'll meet with them again. I'll give it time. I'll pray for them. I'll love them and listen to them some more. But one thing I do not do, and especially this is in families, if you have families, I don't enable or encourage bad behavior. Okay? What does that mean? I don't keep rescuing them from their problems. If they keep repeating that same old mistake, you know, they OD again and they get in trouble, I don't go rescuing them from their problems. If you keep rescuing your adult children from their stupid behavior, you'll be like that parent, that set of parents who had to evict their 30-year-old kid from their house. You know, he's 30 years old. They had to kick him. They had to go to court to kick him out of their house because they enable him instead of tough love. And so that means I don't give addicts money. I had a family said, well, my brother wants to come live with us. He's a drug addict. He just got out of prison and he's still addicted. He needs a place to stay and wants to come stay with him. I said, don't do it. Why would you do it? Why would you bring that influence into your family with your children? I'm not going to go bail someone out of jail and again and again and again. I'm not going to go loan money to a person who's lazy with money and keeps asking for money. Now, I might pay for them to go to a financial class. I would pay for someone who wants to learn how to get on money and they're really serious about it. I'll pay for their class, but I'm not going to give them more money. I once helped a man overcome his addiction. He had a problem. And I worked with him, and he was doing well, and he was stable, he was clean, and then he left me. He stopped coming to church. And a few years later, he calls me. He had fallen off the wagon. He was back in misery again. He wanted to see me right away. And I said, come Sunday, come worship with us, and we'll go from there. I wasn't going to run down there and hold his hand. You know, am I cold? Maybe so. But it's tough love. I said, you come Sunday, we'll talk and we'll go from there. So he didn't show up Sunday. And my feeling is if he can't put enough energy into his problem just to show up on Sunday, why should I put more of my energy? Why should I bother? Now, I'm not being cold, so don't get me wrong. I'm just speaking the truth with love. Proverbs 25:12, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. See, we can make people rich. Well, you know, your words of wisdom are like a gift of gold. And when we share them with someone and they listen, you know, it makes them rich. It makes them it helps them to grow and solve their problems. They can be rich in relationships again. And so we need to share our spiritual riches with other people. All of you who are walking with God, healthy with God, you're happy with God, you're serving God, we need to share those riches, that spiritual wisdom to a listening ear. Will everybody listen? No. But trust me, enough will that you can get them pointed in the right direction. So today, who do you need to speak the love? Who do you need to speak the truth to with love? Are you thinking about somebody right now? Somebody in your family, a brother, a sister, an in-law, someone at work, someone at school, someone you know that is headed in the wrong direction? Or maybe you don't know for sure, but you see the signs. You can feel it when you talk to them. What do they need to change? What needs to happen in their lives? You know they need the truth. And are you going to let God use you? What you do first is you pray, get right with God, say, God, I think so-and-so has a problem. God, will you use me to help them with their problem? Will you send me? Will you give me an opportunity to speak with them? Will you let the Holy Spirit empower me and encourage me? I want to help someone who's headed in the wrong direction. They need to change that direction before they burn, their lives crash and burn. See, we can't stand by and do nothing. If anything, call 911. I'm 911. Call me and I'll come and help you. Okay, but we don't stand by and do nothing. Together, we can work together to at least speak the truth with love. It's still their decision. It's still their responsibility. But boy, we can enlighten them. We can enable them. We can empower them. Maybe in your own life, you haven't accepted the truth about something in your own life. What truth do you need to accept to change to become more like Jesus? What hurt or habit or hang-up is holding you back? What's bogging you down? Maybe you need to finally admit today that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead. You need to embrace this truth and commit your life to follow Him. Why not do it today? Why wait any longer? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, You gave us a truth, not so that we could study it and learn it and hoard it for ourselves and judge other people with it, but Father, You gave us a truth to speak the truth with love. Father, I pray if someone's here today and hurting because they have not accepted Your truth of hope and healing and salvation, that they'll open their heart and say, Lord, I need help with this hurt or habit or hang-up. I need Jesus. I need someone to talk to that can give me wisdom. I pray that person will respond today, Father. Father, there's someone in our own lives that we know that is hurting, and we see it on their face. We see it in their mannerisms. Father, I pray that we start praying for that person and asking the Spirit to open their heart and our mouth, that we may engage them and talk to them with love, just to listen to them for a long time before we share that wisdom. But Father, when they're ready to ask us a question, when they make a complaint, we are ready to speak with gentleness and respect. Help us, Lord, bring people back to You, because we worship You and we know that Your word and Your will for our lives leads to a better life and a better future. So I pray that all of us today will embrace the truth of Your word, that Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. We worship and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand, and as we sing, if I can encourage you or pray with you in any way, please come forward. Come to His senses moment, or maybe a come to Jesus moment, a reality check. Maybe you're going to wait until they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they want to do something. The next thing you want to do, if you want to speak the truth, is ask probing questions. Don't just tell them what to do. And I understand that desire, but I see many people in our church and in life, they just want to tell people what to do. If I can tell Larry what to do, he'll do it, just because I told him. Does that work, Larry? No. So don't just try to tell people what to do. If you do, they what? Become defensive. They'll put up their arms and they're ready to fight. I instead, if I'm trying to lead someone into a discussion, I want to ask them discovery questions to draw them out. Where do you want to be in your life 5 years from now? You know, where do you want to be? Are you happy in your job, or do you think you want a better job down the line? Are you still in debt? Do you want to be in debt like you are today 5 years from now? Do you think you have no friends? Is that going to continue? You're asking probing questions. What do you need to do today to accomplish that goal of where you want to be 5 years from now? I listen to Dave Ramsey. He asks that question all the time. What changes should you make today to reach your goals? You can ask them questions like, what's your goals? What's your goals for life? One of my nephews was not planning on going to college, and I remember my mom said, go talk to him. So my mom tells me directly, I just go do it. So instead of asking him and telling him he should go to college, I asked him, I said, what's your plans after high school? You know, are you going to college or what are you going to do? And he looks at me and goes, well, I know people that never got college degrees and they do just fine. And that's true. I mean, gee, my plumber makes $100,000 a year. He didn't go to college. I'm like, I'm not changing my profession. There's nothing wrong with that. I said, that's true. People do just fine. You know, college is for some people, not for everyone. But I also asked him, I said, well, do you know how many hours those people work? And he goes, well, they work 10 to 12 hours a day. And I said, well, I work 8 hours a day and I make twice as much money. I said, college just gives you options. College gives you options. And he ended up going to college. He probably didn't remember the discussion. I didn't tell him to do anything. I asked him questions to expand, to think it through, to expand his thinking. Ask probing questions. They're passive. I ask people, what are your spiritual beliefs? I no longer ask people, are you a Christian? Because that sounds what? Defensive. That sounds accusing. Why aren't you a Christian? I said, what are your spiritual beliefs? And I let them tell me. And then I talk about what I believe in. The next thing is share what you have learned. Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I have been stupid and I have been successful. I think we would all agree that we've all had success and failures. We've all experienced success and failure. Share what you have learned. When they say, well, I'm having problems with money, I share that, you know, I had problems. I tell people all the debts I had at one time. I had like 10 debts. I had 10 loans out. I said, I got through it. And when they ask me how, I tell them, I share what I have learned. We all have successes and failures. We learn from our failures more than we do our successes. How to get a good job, how to be a good friend, how to share the gospel, how to be a better Christian. We use our mistakes and failures, and we teach them that our mistakes and our failures lead to greater opportunity. I mean, one of the ways I really changed my thinking and how I approach life is I was failing a math class in college. And I failed because of my attitude and my approach to that class. I changed it, and because of that, it changed everything. But it's because I failed first, and I learned from my failure. So don't be afraid to tell people, I failed, but this is what I learned. The goal is to plant seeds of the truth in their hearts and give it time to grow. When I talk to people, one time is not going to do it. You have to put little seeds in their hearts. Okay, lastly, practice tough love. You know, we want to hug, we want to encourage, but we're not going to coddle, we're not going to spoil, we're not going to give them everything we want. When we speak the truth with love, we have to practice tough love. See, a lot of people, you try to help and you want to minister to, they won't care what you say. They won't listen. Trust me, I've seen it. That's okay. That's their choice. Your responsibility is to speak the truth with love. If they don't listen to you, let them go. Don't go chase them down and beg them or nothing. Don't take it personal. Don't hold a grudge. The goal is to build bridges, not blow them up. So if they say, well, I'm not interested, I say, okay, thank you. You know, you don't say, well, yeah, you know, you're going to go to hell and all this and you're going to have all this problem. I don't do anything like that. I just keep loving them. I keep serving them. I'll meet with them again. I'll give it time. I'll pray for them. I'll love them and listen to them some more. But one thing I do not do, and especially this is in families, if you have families, I don't enable or encourage bad behavior. Okay? What does that mean? I don't keep rescuing them from their problems. If they keep repeating that same old mistake, you know, they OD again and they get in trouble, I don't go rescuing them from their problems. If you keep rescuing your adult children from their stupid behavior, you'll be like that parent, that set of parents who had to evict their 30-year-old kid from their house. You know, he's 30 years old. They had to kick him. They had to go to court to kick him out of their house because they enable him instead of tough love. And so that means I don't give addicts money. I had a family said, well, my brother wants to come live with us. He's a drug addict. He just got out of prison and he's still addicted. He needs a place to stay and wants to come stay with us. And I said, don't do it. Why would you do it? Why would you bring that influence into your family with your children? I'm not going to go bail someone out of jail and again and again and again. I'm not going to go loan money to a person who's lazy with money and keeps asking for money. Now, I might pay for them to go to a financial class. I would pay for someone who wants to learn how to get on money and they're really serious about it. I'll pay for their class, but I'm not going to give them more money. I once helped a man overcome his addiction. He had a problem. And I worked with him, and he was doing well, and he was stable, he was clean, and then he left me. He stopped coming to church. And a few years later, he calls me. He had fallen off the wagon. He was back in misery again. He wanted to see me right away. And I said, come Sunday, come worship with us, and we'll go from there. I wasn't going to run down there and hold his hand. You know, am I cold? Maybe so. But it's tough love. I said, you come Sunday, we'll talk and we'll go from there. So he didn't show up Sunday. And my feeling is if he can't put enough energy into his problem just to show up on Sunday, why should I put more of my energy? Why should I bother? Now, I'm not being cold, so don't get me wrong. I'm just speaking the truth with love. Proverbs 25:12, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. See, we can make people rich. Well, you know, your words of wisdom are like a gift of gold. And when we share them with someone and they listen, you know, it makes them rich. It makes them, it helps them to grow and solve their problems. They can be rich in relationships again. And so we need to share our spiritual riches with other people. All of you who are walking with God, healthy with God, you're happy with God, you're serving God, we need to share those riches, that spiritual wisdom to a listening ear. Will everybody listen? No. But trust me, enough will that you can get them pointed in the right direction. So today, who do you need to speak the love? Who do you need to speak the truth to with love? Are you thinking about somebody right now? Somebody in your family, a brother, a sister, an in-law, someone at work, someone at school, someone you know that is headed in the wrong direction? Or maybe you don't know for sure, but you see the signs. You can feel it when you talk to them. What do they need to change? What needs to happen in their lives? You know they need the truth. And are you going to let God use you? What you do first is you pray, get right with God, say, God, I think so-and-so has a problem. God, will you use me to help them with their problem? Will you send me? Will you give me an opportunity to speak with them? Will you let the Holy Spirit empower me and encourage me? I want to help someone who's headed in the wrong direction. They need to change that direction before they burn, their lives crash and burn. See, we can't stand by and do nothing. If anything, call 911. I'm 911. Call me and I'll come and help you. Okay, but we don't stand by and do nothing. Together, we can work together to at least speak the truth with love. It's still their decision. It's still their responsibility. But boy, we can enlighten them. We can enable them. We can empower them. Maybe in your own life, you haven't accepted the truth about something in your own life. What truth do you need to accept to change to become more like Jesus? What hurt or habit or hang-up is holding you back? What's bogging you down? Maybe you need to finally admit today that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead. You need to embrace this truth and commit your life to follow Him. Why not do it today? Why wait any longer? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, You gave us a truth, not so that we could study it and learn it and hoard it for ourselves and judge other people with it, but Father, You gave us a truth to speak the truth with love. Father, I pray if someone's here today and hurting because they have not accepted Your truth of hope and healing and salvation, that they'll open their heart and say, Lord, I need help with this hurt or habit or hang-up. I need Jesus. I need someone to talk to that can give me wisdom. I pray that person will respond today, Father. Father, there's someone in our own lives that we know that is hurting, and we see it on their face, we see it in their mannerisms. Father, I pray that we start praying for that person and asking the Spirit to open their heart and our mouth, that we may engage them and talk to them with love, just to listen to them for a long time before we share that wisdom. But Father, when they're ready to ask us a question, when they make a complaint, we are ready to speak with gentleness and respect. Help us, Lord, bring people back to you. Because we worship you and we know that your word and your will for our lives leads to a better life and a better future. So I pray that all of us today will embrace the truth of your word, that Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. We worship and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand, and as we sing, if I can encourage you or pray with you in any way, please come forward.